We're going to turn our service to our evangelist tonight, Brother Sister Rocky Millsap. Let's just open our hearts to the Word of God tonight. I was asking my wife to sit with me, and she thought I was asking her to sing, so we'll get it straightened out here. Come ahead, brother.
Praise the Lord. What a wonderful spirit that we feel here already in the house of God. A lot of scriptures came to my mind when they sang about the joy of the Lord. Amen. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The joy of the Lord is your strength. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. And not like a joy that the world can give you, but a joy unspeakable and full of glory. We used to sing a song, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. Aren't you thankful for that kind of joy? Authentic joy, real joy that gets down deep in your soul. Praise the Lord. It's such a pleasure to be here with the Hurst, and we see a few familiar faces and a lot of unfamiliar faces, but we're thankful to be here in service. Know Brother Hurst's mom and dad, and then we've been in service there with his daughter and son-in-law there in the Norman area, and good to see Brother and Sister Cruz here, and we were with their daughter and son-in-law this morning at Fairborn, so it's just good to be with the family of God. No other people I'd rather be here than the world's best hospital. Amen. Or the world's best mental institution. I'm glad to be among God's people. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. I want my wife to come and just share her heart and word of testimony. We've got a new addition to our family this week. He's just turned 8 weeks old, about 2 months. And so hopefully he's our little preacher in the making or whatever God has in store for his life. But I want my wife, Danielle, to just share as we kind of try to make an exchange here. Baby for the microphone. Okay.
I love the Lord tonight, and I am thankful for everything he's done. And there's a scripture that I want to share with you in 1 Thessalonians 5. And the first part of verse 18 says, in everything, give thanks. And, you know, the rest of it says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, it's hard to praise the Lord when things are bad. But this verse is telling us, in everything, give thanks. You know, in the good times, in the bad times, give thanks to the Lord. And I know what it's like to go through, you know, storms and trials of life. A year ago when we set out on our first evangelistic trip, you know, it seemed good, but, you know, some bad things happened. We had some difficulties with our car. You know, it's hard to praise the Lord in those times, you know, but as the scripture says, in everything give thanks. And that night I cried myself to sleep. I didn't understand, you know, why we were dealing with some of the things that we were dealing with. But somewhere in the night, the Lord gave me a dream, and it happened to be concerning our little boy. And I believe that the Lord knew the desires of my heart that I've had ever since I was a child. And early in the morning, he gave me a dream about our son, and I knew that that was his promise. He was going to give me what I asked for. And, you know, I woke up that morning with Romans 8 and 28 on my mind. For we know that all things work together for the good to them who are the called to them. You know, and I can't remember the rest of that verse. My mind goes blank. But, you know, I am thankful that the Lord knows right where we're at. And, you know, we found out back in April of this year that our child was going to be a boy. And I had to thank the Lord for what he'd done, for answering my prayer, for letting me know ahead of time. I know right where you're at. And I believe that the Lord just wants to let you know tonight. He knows where you're at. And he will meet your needs. And I love him tonight.
Aren't you thankful that God knows our location? Amen. And if there's any doubt, you can create an atmosphere where he'll come right down in the midst of you. Where two or three are gathered in his name, there he'll be in the midst of them. I heard one preacher say, your mouth is your address. You just call out. He knows you by the tone of your voice. Praise God. Whomsoever shall call upon the Lord, amen, shall be saved. He said, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Exodus, the third chapter. And thank you so much for your giving. And thank you, Pastor Hurst and Sister Hurst, for sharing your pulpit with us tonight. It's truly an honor and a joy. Brother Hurst's name was pretty much a household name when I was growing up. We all knew who Brother Clifford Hurst was and his association with OBI and just various other things. And so we are delighted to be here in this service. Exodus, the third chapter. And we will begin in the first verse. I want to read about maybe the first six verses in our hearing this evening. Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look on God. Let me pull out three phrases real quickly. In verse 3, he said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. And then when he called, you know, Moses' name, Moses, Moses, he said, here am I. But notice in verse 14, God said unto Moses, I am that I am. So I want to preach on this thought. I want to talk about the fire of God tonight. And I want to use this as my title, the main attraction. Amen. The great sight that Moses saw in the burning bush. Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness and mercy. Lord, we pray that you would be with us, Lord. God, that you would save, that you would heal, and that you would deliver. God, give us unction to function. Lord, let us leave this place changed and challenged by the word of God. Lord, we love you and we thank you and we praise you for everything that you've done. Lord, let us, God, reach out to those who may be hurting, who may be despondent in their spirit. And you know exactly what to do and what to say. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. And we pray for the church to be edified and uplifted in this house in the name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. In the 120 years of Moses' life, they said it could be broken down into three categories. The first 40 years he spent in Pharaoh's courts as a somebody. The second 40 years he spent in the wilderness as a nobody. And then the last 40 years, you're looking at a man who was leading God's people in the wilderness, who learned the value of both lessons of being a somebody and a nobody. And when God found Moses, here he is on the backside of the desert. Didn't say at the beginning of the desert. It didn't say in the middle of the desert, but it said on the backside of the desert. How many knows when you've reached the backside of something, more than likely you're at a dead end? And how many knows that when you reach a dead end, God's driveway begins? And all you need to do is pull in and ask him for directions. We get lost in life. We get misdirected. There's many distractions that will keep us from the main attraction. And when he saw this burning bush, he said, I have got to turn aside. In other words, he had to get off the path that he was already on. And he said, I've got to see this great sight. What is it about the fire that attracted him? What is it about the fire that makes us different than anybody else? You see, I believe that it is the fire that separates the Pentecostal experience from any other religious affiliation. Now, I'm not at all saying that there aren't other movements that are experiencing a move of God and the fire of God, but Pentecost was where it was born. Amen. And I don't know about you, I was born in the fire and I want to die in the fire. Praise God. Fire was a sign of God's acceptance. Someone made this statement, said, catch on fire with enthusiasm and people will come for miles to watch you burn. Amen. Scripture says in Hebrews 12, the last verse, for our God is a consuming fire. It is the nature of God. It is the character of God as being the fire. Amen. The fire symbolizes his presence. It symbolizes his power, and it symbolizes his purity. Amen. Something about, even in the natural, when somebody's on fire, and I pray you didn't have to witness that, but if you have, amen, were them people calm? Were they polite? Were they dignified when their clothes was on fire? No, they're yelling, they're screaming, they're running. And how many knows the safety procedure when you're on fire? They say, stop, drop, and roll. Well, they call us holy rollers. And that's what it's like when somebody's soul catches on fire. We roll. It brings amen. It's Jeremiah said, it's like a fire shut up within me in my bones. And brother, let me tell you, it's an inward experience indeed. But how many knows an inward experience will produce an outward expression? You see, somebody that's on fire just can't stand still. Sometimes it makes you shout. Sometimes it makes you dance. Sometimes it makes you run the aisles. Sometimes it just makes you leap up and down for joy. Amen. Joy of the fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we need to keep a fire focus in the house of God. Many sideshows the devil will try to create to divert your attention from the main attraction. But what we need to keep our focus on is on the fire. Not focus on your fears. Not focus on your failures. Not focus on the famine that is around you, not focusing on the formalism. Amen, brothers and sisters. We have made the upper room into a supper room. We have more organizers than we do agonizers. We put more emphasis on programs instead of the power. We have put more focus on academics instead of the anointing. And there's nothing wrong with excelling in Christian education, and I'm all for that. But there's no replacement for the burning fire of the Holy Ghost that is in your life. Amen. I said, don't miss the main attraction. Oh, yes, there are some things that I want to talk about. First of all, the fire produces his presence. Amen. And that presence brings reverence. How many members in the Old Testament, the priests, the great lengths that they went through to prepare themselves for the Holy of Holies. For inside that seven-layered veil was the Ark of the Covenant. Above the Ark of the Covenant was the mercy seat. And if you were to ask a Jewish historian or some other Bible scholar, there was a bright blue flame that was above the mercy seat. Now, a blue flame, from what I've been told, those that experiment a lot with fire, and I'm not talking about an arsonist either, I'm just talking about somebody that knows the intensity of a flame. When a flame is blue, that means it's the most intense. When it becomes a orangey yellow color, that means something's trying to suffocate it.
That means something is trying to put it out. But every time the priest walked into the Holy of Holies, there was a bright, intense blue flame. My first experience in knowing intensity of flames, I was in a travel trailer. Amen. And this was in my single evangelist days. And somehow when you're a single evangelist, they just stick you anywhere. I mean, it could be a hole in the floor. It don't matter. Amen. One night, believe it or not, they admitted me to a nursing home. Yeah, they had me stay in a nursing home. Amen. That's a long story, but anyway, moving right along. Amen. We were there and staying in this travel trailer, and I was taking a shower. And Brother Cruz, I was enjoying that good old hot water. But in just a few moments, something happened to the water tank. I didn't know what it was. All I know is I started almost shouting, and it wasn't the Holy Ghost that was on me. It was because the hot water had turned cold. The pastor's son come out and explained to me there was soot in the water tank. It had to be blown out. He said, look at the flame. That orangey yellow color. It means something is trying to put the fire out. As I was walking back to the church, the Lord asked me this question, just like I'm sitting here, standing here talking to you tonight. The Lord asked me, Rocky, what is the color of your flame? Is it true blue or mellow yellow? Come on, somebody. Amen. Is it intense as it once was? Do you still have your first love? Is your faith burning with fervency? Is the love and compassion inside of you just as bright and dominant in your life as it was in the beginning? Brother, I believe in true blue Christianity. Not somebody that's half in and half out, but they're in with both feet and say, I'm committed. I'm consecrated. There's convictions that I have in my heart, and I believe in the fire of the Holy Ghost. You believe it? Shout amen. Oh, I'd rather live with a first-hand flame than die from second-hand smoke. Come on, somebody. I said, you don't have to choke from the smoke. You can desire the fire. Hallelujah. I said, there is a fire burning in the house of God. That is the main attraction. I'll prove it to you. What gets more attention driving through town? An ice truck or a fire truck? Come on now. Somebody just packing ice to the next convenience store, or a fire truck with the lights beaming out and the sirens going off. It lets them know, and everybody else, there's a fire nearby. Come on now. I said there's a fire that's about to break out. I'm talking about it used to be when the saints of God would have a revival. Now listen, there's been even reports of neighbors calling the fire department because they said the church is on fire. Amen. But it was Holy Ghost fire, but it looked like a literal fire that ascended and came down upon the tabernacle. Lord, send it again. Revive us again. Let it shower down again. We need the fire, the main attraction of the Holy Ghost. You believe it? Shout amen. Secondly, the fire brings purity, and purity brings revelation. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You see, the fire purifies the metal. Amen. The metal is made more valuable when it's tested by the fire. It gets out the impurities. It gets out the inconsistencies that is not consistent with the character and the nature of God. To illustrate my point, there was a young man who was a student who was trying to study more about the metalworking business. And he was in this shop, this metalworking shop, and the instructor was giving him a tour. And he sat there and watched a man sitting down, and he had a piece, I believe it was of silver. And he had it with like a pair of tongs, and he was holding it over this blazing flame. And this man's eyes was just fixed upon this piece of metal. He wasn't distracted to the left or to the right or anything that was going around him. His eyes were fixed on this piece of metal. And the student asked, said, "Why is he doing that?" He said, "Because if he leaves the metal in the fire one moment too long, it will be destroyed." Okay, well, how does he know when the metal is purified, when it reaches the stage of being a finished product? The instructor said, "Well, that's the easy part. The moment he sees the reflection of his image in the metal." Hallelujah. Amen. Did you know the fire has come to purify the church? The fire has come to get things out of us that are inconsistent with the nature of God, because God isn't coming back for a harlot. He isn't coming back for a prostitute. He is coming back for a glorious church without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing, as a bride that is adorned for her husband. Can I get an amen in the house tonight? I said the Holy Ghost. See, you know, we've heard folks talk about, well, the Holy Ghost is gentle. He's like a dove. The Bible calls him the comforter. Yes, there are manifestations of him as the dove. We know specifically at the River Jordan, where the Bible said that the Holy Ghost descended upon him like a dove. But when you read in the Upper Room experience, the fire came in like a mighty rushing wind. What's the difference? Well, the reason why the dove was able to just light on Jesus was there was nothing impure in him. He didn't need to be purified. But the reason why it come in like a mighty rushing wind, we got stuff that we got to get out of our life in order to prepare for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need him to come in like a flood, to come in heavy like a hurricane, to invade us, to overtake us, to empower us, and to cleanse us from everything that would keep us out in the heavens where he dwells. Can you shout amen? Oh, hallelujah. I feel him in this place tonight. E.M. Bounds said, "Flame is the air which true Christianity experience breathes. It feeds on fire. It can withstand anything rather than a feeble flame. But when the surrounding atmosphere is frigid or lukewarm, amen, the flame dies. It's chilled and it's starved to its vitals. True prayer must be a flame." I said you need a prayer life that is on fire. John Wesley said, "My fear is not that our great movement," he's speaking about the Methodists, he said, "my fear is not that we will eventually cease to exist or one day die on the earth, but my fear is that our people will become content to live without the fire, the power, the excitement, the supernatural element that makes us great." Amen, friend. As Vance Havner said, it's easy to yell from the stadium, amen, like a Comanche Indian. But when we come to the house of God, we too many times sit like a wooden Indian. And we need to realize that this fire of the Holy Ghost, amen, is to purify us and to put us in a position to where we can get closer to God. "Draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you." Lastly, the Holy Ghost fire is sent for power. How many likes that word? "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name you shall cast out devils. You shall lay hands on the sick and see them recover. You shall pick up any deadly thing and it will not hurt you. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." We need fire in the pulpit. We need fire in the pew. We need fire in our song. We need fire in our testimony. We need fire in our prayer life. We need fire in our preaching. I said, Brother Jesus came to baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. You believe it? Shout amen. Leonard Ravenhill said, because the church has lost Holy Ghost fire, millions are going to hellfire. A blazing bush drew Moses, and it will take a blazing church that will attract the world, so that from its midst they will hear the voice of a living God. That's how we know he's alive, is the fire that burns inside of every one of us. Amen. How many knows an automobile will never move until it has ignition? That means fire. It's got to be fired up. And so it is with some men. They are never moved, nor do they start moving, because they have everything except the fire of God. How many knows we need it tonight? More than ever before, we need the fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The church can be unified in two different ways. Listen to me. You can freeze together and become the church of the frozen chosen. Or by the fire, you can melt together. Amen. And how many knows that when you mix things together and when they're melted and mixed together that way, they're no longer separate ingredients, but they became one thing. And Jesus' prayer was, Father, I pray that them and my disciples would be one as you and I are one. Oh, what kind of unity is that? Amen. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place and they were all in one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Now listen to that. They were in the upper room. They were occupying one place, but the fire filled the whole house. Brother, it don't stop with just you, but this fire I'm talking about, I don't know about your fire, but my fire is contagious. My fire don't just stay within the confines of the four walls of the church. My fire don't stay confined in this temple, amen, called Rocky Millsap, but this fire spreads out over here, then it shoots out over there, and it goes behind me, and it goes in front of me, and it consumes everything that it touches. I said a contagious fire that will set the world and the church ablaze again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of the living God. There was a time in my life when I felt like there was things trying to threaten the fire of this ministry. There was a time when I... And let me just share this brief story with you. There was a man that I used to preach for years ago. A man that I had a lot of great admiration for. Brother Hurst, he even bought me the first brand new suit that I ever owned. I loved him. He was my friend. But years later, I saw him. We'd been out of contact for quite a while. And I met him again at a gospel singing. And this time, it seemed like there was something so different about him. I couldn't quite put my finger on it. But the whole time I was in his presence, it was so strange at the time, because I knew this man didn't smoke. He didn't have a nicotine problem of any kind. But it smelled just like the essence of smoke, like from a fire, a fresh built fire, was all around this man. And I left his presence and I went to my prayer closet that night. And my little prayer closet was our little travel trailer that sat out there in the front yard of my house. And I got alone with God and I said, Lord, I just don't understand. What is it about this smoke that I keep smelling about the man of God? And the Lord whispered to me and said, "Brother," he said, "Rocky, when the fire goes out, all that remains is smoke." And he proceeded to tell me, he said, "Rocky, don't ever let the fire go out." Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, it is a do or die mission in the house of God. Amen. We've got to maintain this fire, but not just maintain it. We need a fresh manifestation of it for future generations. Don't let it die out with your family. Don't let it die out with your children. But this promise is unto you and your children and your children's children, even as many as our Lord God shall call. In the last days, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Brothers and sisters, the manifestation, the main attraction of the fire is still for us. Tonight, stand with me all over this house. Oh, praise God. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. There's been several things that's been said about the healing power of God. And there has been testimonies. I'm through, but let me just share this one last thing about healing, divine healing. How many believes it's still active? It's still for the church today. By His stripes we were healed. He is the high priest which can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. I was in East Texas preaching revival, and we was there, and we was just singing a simple worship course. I think the chorus we were singing was, "For surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. For surely the presence of the Lord is in this place." And the Lord quickened my spirit while singing that song. And He says, "I'm healing somebody of cancer right now." And I spoke that out, not knowing who it was. And about halfway back in that church, there was a young lady that had slipped up her hands and she started weeping. And in just a moment, she stepped out and went back to the bathroom. And she come out and she had shared her testimony that night. And she had said that they had found a lump on her chest. And she said that, amen, she was so scared that it was cancer. And I guess they were suspecting that it was cancer. But she said, "The moment those words come out of my mouth, somebody's being healed of cancer." This is the way she described her healing. She said it was like a warm heat that flowed through the entirety of my body. And she said, "At that moment, I left my pew and went back there." And she said, "The lump was completely gone." God had healed her right there. Amen. You might need to experience the fire of His healing. A warm heat. Oh my God. I feel like I'm, amen, closer than what some of you might even think. I think there's somebody under the sound of my voice that you need to experience the healing touch of Jesus. But friend, He is passing by. And if you could just get a hold of the hem of His garment, I believe that healing virtue is flowing out even right now. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And He sent His Word and He healed them. Lift your hands one more time and begin to worship God. For the main attraction. Ooh, hallelujah. Let's just wait on the Lord for just a moment. Would that be okay? Let's just wait on Him. Let's not rush Him. Let's not try to get Him to move in a different direction than He desires to move. Oh, hallelujah. Let's wait on the Spirit of the living God. For I am the Lord God that healeth thee. Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. For I, the Lord God, have heard thy cry. I have seen thy distress, and my hand is not shortened that I cannot save, neither is my ear heavy that I cannot hear. But my long arm of salvation is reaching down to you. Yea, I will heal thee, I will revive thee, I will touch thee, I will quicken thee, saith God. Look unto me, for I am the author and the finisher of thy faith. Look unto the hills from whence cometh thy help. Your help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Yea, I say unto thee, expect your miracle, expect your breakthrough, for I am in the midst of thee this night, saith God. Amen. If that's you, if you just need a rekindling of the fire, if you need a healing for your body, if you just need, if you may have never experienced the Holy Ghost before and you want this fire that this preacher's talking about, begin to move right now. Begin to step out of your pew. Begin to make your way to this front. I don't care if you kneel. I don't care if you shoot your hands up in the air and just praise Him, but let's make a move right now. I said the fire wants to make you move. The fire wants you to leave your comfort zone. The fire wants you to leave status quo Christianity behind. God is calling you to deeper depths and higher heights than you've ever been before.